Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. The name above all names, Lord. For you are glorious. You are King. Encounter us right now. By the power of your word, flow through my lips. Holy Spirit, speak through me that you might be glorified. Jesus. Have your will in your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, 8 through 11, our opening text. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We have been on this journey really since Easter, of knowing him, and we see this evidence in the life of Peter through his failures to this transformation that we're about to go through with Peter, a man who was in his failures and his weakness, is, you know, him being prideful and self-confident, all the way to the point where he denies Jesus. And we saw last week where he was restored, where Jesus called him by his name three times, his former name, Simon, Simon, Simon. Do you love me? And he was confirming in Peter's heart with the question, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. And I didn't make that point last week well enough. And I want to just park there for a minute, because when he had denied Christ, Jesus said, for out of the heart comes, out of the mouth comes from what was in the heart. And so he said, I don't know him. But something changed between his restoration and his denial. Something happened that caused the switch. And that's the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. It was the cross and Jesus' resurrection of the cross that allowed the change to happen. That's what changes you and I.
Amen.
It's the change over of our hearts. We are new. We're made anew because of the cross. The redemption of the cross, and the redemption happens because he raised from the dead.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So Jesus tells Peter, and he says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. And at that very next moment, in John 21, after they've had breakfast by the sea and the Lord is restoring him, he tells him of his death. He says, most assuredly, in verse 18, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked there where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So he tells Peter, this is how you're going to die. You are going to be crucified. And scholars say that he was crucified upside down. Does that change your heart? It sure didn't. At that point, there was the change that happened. The changeover had happened. And Jesus was able to say, this is how you're going to die. You are going to be a martyr. Now follow me. Now follow me. A surrendered life, only a surrendered life, broken of his former, surrendered to Jesus, all to Jesus. I surrender all. Only that could allow a man to know that he was going to die a martyr's death for him and still follow. The world would look at that and say, psh, no. It's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. If you were told how you die, the world would say, hey, don't partake in that. Go pull yourself away. Go to the islands or go get far away from that. Get far away from the danger. And we see a difference happen in Peter. Only love, only a true relationship, an intimate relationship of knowing him and the fellowship of his suffering would allow a man to be told he's going to die a martyr. And right after say, follow me. That's right, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I've counted the cost, Lord. And it's going to require a power stronger than what I can do on my own. And it was the resurrection power, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, we saw where Jesus breathed on them. So he's broken. He's broken of himself. He's fully surrendered. And now he's ready to be filled with the power. And that was in Acts. We had that where we left off. And Jesus, before his ascension, before he's to be glorified, says, after being assembled together in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There's a commission again, the Great Commission. Get out there. Get out there. Follow me. Now go, now go, go preach my gospel. And this amazing transformation that we've seen on comes to a head. And it's right there in Acts chapter 2 with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 50 days after, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in one accord. You see, it wasn't just Peter that was restored. It was also the disciples. They were scattered. Remember, they were scattered. But now, they're in one accord. They're in an upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They're filled with the power, the third head of the third part of the Godhead. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Devout men, devout to their religion, devout to their cause, devout to their good deeds. I'm a good person. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That's why we sang that wonder song today. The wonder. The wonder of God's work. It's God, the wonder of his grace. His empowering presence for these men and women to do and be what they cannot do and be on their own. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? You see, even here, even in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's believers, there's scoffers. There's scoffers and there's believers, because some were amazed. Some are a thirst is created to say, what is this? What does this mean? And then you see others mocking, saying they're just drunk. They're full of new wine. There's people who are curious, and then there's people who just write you off. But Peter, standing up with the leaven, his brothers that were scattered, they stand right after these scoffers saying, hey, they're just drunk. But Peter, the one who was restored by Jesus, saying, follow me. And now he's ready to lead the church because he said, feed my sheep. It's not Peter's church, it's Jesus' church. It's Jesus' sheep, it's Jesus' flock. Amen. And Peter's helping lead that. And he's standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to him, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For we are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Last days started at this point. Says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I heard this testimony of this man who converted from Islam to Christianity. And he has said that a lot of Muslims have seen Jesus because they look to God through visions and dreams, to where they've seen Jesus appear to them in their dreams. And it's put them on this quest then to find out who Jesus really is. Who is this person? It's the Holy Spirit. It's moving upon, just like it hovered over the waters in creation. The Holy Spirit is moving again. And on my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth, and blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Those days are coming, folks. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He quotes Prophet Joel, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified him and put him to death, whom God has raised up, the power of the resurrection, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. You shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in this hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. This is of no coincidence to me that Peter is quoting what David wrote in Psalm 16. For Peter now knows Jesus. He knows him. He has the fellowship of his suffering, and he knows of the power of his resurrection. And he says right there, you have made known to me the ways of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's quoting it, and he's quoting it, and he's making a stand on that. It's a foundational scripture for him. It's been burned into his mind. You've made known to me the ways of life. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you. He's free. He's free from his past. He's free from his bondage. I speak freely now. of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Then Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Amen. We are all witnesses. You and I are witnesses of him. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He promised us before he was going ahead that he would send the Comforter. And now it's coming to fulfillment. For David did not send it into heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord is, listen, Lord, when you look it up and you translate it, is authority over all. What is verse 35? Till I make your enemies your footstool. What is a footstool? It goes underneath your foot. His title, Lord, is authority over all. And Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. He's proclaiming the gospel, and what happens when they hear this? They're cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, the word of God cuts to the heart. That's what Hebrews says. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the gospel shines light to those in darkness, and it creates the thirst to them. The salt and the light. The salt and the light are at work right here. And they're cut to the heart, and they say, "What do I need to do? What must I do to be saved?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off," that's you and I, "as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified. There it is. He testified. And exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear, or in the New Living Translation, a deep sense of awe. Fear is in the Greek is phobos. Listen to this. When you translate fear here, it is reverence for one's husband. Who are we? The bride. How awesome. How awesome is God's word. Came upon every soul. Reverence for Jesus came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You see, your eyes are opened. The eyes are opened to the wonder and the majesty of Jesus and his grace. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. You see, we have things in common, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the common denominator for Christians. You get all the other doctrines, all the other things, but the core of it is about Jesus. It is about Jesus and what he did. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. They praised God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Because they're worshiping in simplicity. The simplicity. It's not complicated. It's your testimony.
Amen. Your story.
Listen, folks. Peter has changed. and you're seeing it as a witness right here. Here was a man who had acted as a coward when he denied Christ. But after knowing him and after being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he stood before thousands. Listen to me. These thousands were the same thousands who said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save now." They're the ones that said, "Barabbas, crucify him." But the gospel came. A man spoke in the authority of God's word, and some of them were saved. Not all. But you see, full circle from Palm Sunday, the same crowd, the same one. Suddenly, there's a thirst and there's a desire. What must we do to be saved? The same city, he's there boldly proclaiming the gospel. The same place where he was denying Christ, saying, "I don't know him." Now he's saying, "I know who he is. I know what he has done. I'm a completely changed person." He had gone through the most severe testing and trials of his life a few weeks ago, but he was something new. He was busy winning the lost to Christ, just as Jesus prayed for him to be strengthening his brethren. If you read it in Luke 22, verse 31 through 32, this is before the denial. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." The next verse, Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Amen. His faith is stronger than ever right now. "And when you have," listen to this, "when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Amen. When you've returned to me, now go strengthen your brethren. What is he doing right here? He's preaching in power and authority, and he's strengthening his brethren. He's leading. Remember, he's speaking, and the 11 are behind him and the others. This crowd is some of the same people that shouted Hosanna. What's changed? What's changed for them? They now can know him through his fellowship of his suffering, through the power of his resurrection. You see, the Holy Spirit draws them to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus may have ascended to the Father, but they felt even closer to him than ever before. He was no longer with them, but he was in Peter and others by the way of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, I'll read it to you in the New Living Translation, verses 12 through 17. It says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done." This is Jesus speaking. "And even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him." Listen here. Listen to this last part. "Because you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you." The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus and he's with them now. He's in this, which is before he was crucified. And before the resurrection, and now he's going to say, and he says, "And then it will be in you." It's with you, now it's in you. Do you understand the difference? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to his ascension is where, basically, it's the sending of the Spirit and the birth of a new age at this very moment. It's the age of the Spirit. In the old age, the Spirit was with you. And in the new age, it's where? It's in you. So in the old, men served God out of fear and consequences under the law. And now there's something new. In the new age, men serve God out of love for what Christ did for them. Amen. They're energized by that. They're motivated by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which resides inside of each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Amen. It's powerful. You read that. I've read that scripture so many different times when you really understand the transformation power that the Holy Spirit can do. It's amazing. Amazing love. It has six effects. Six effects of what the Holy Spirit can do on us. I just want to spend time there. The Holy Spirit plays an essential role for you and I as earthly vessels to proclaim the gospel so we can bear fruit for His kingdom. We see it in evidence here. It's all throughout Scripture, but in evidence right here. This man who was devastated by his failures and his denial in Christ, and also after Jesus' resurrection and being restored, he's encouraging and leading the flock. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that landed. And first, for it to happen, you have to be surrendered and broken to His will.
That's right.
You have to be surrendered and broken to His will. That's one. For the effect of the Holy Spirit, one, you have to be surrendered and broken. Only then can He fill you. Do you remember? Do you remember the imagery we did with the jars?
Yes.
Or the cups, right? Two, the presence of the Holy Spirit can lead them to confidence and courage even when you're being opposed.
That's right.
You see, Joshua was told in the Old Testament, if you remember that sermon, to be strong and courageous. And so the Spirit is saying to you and I at this very time, be strong, be courageous. After the Holy Spirit fell from heaven upon the 120 in the upper room, thousands of people come running to see what's going on. And there were the opposers, right? The scoffers. Right now, we are the church and we are being viewed by the world. The eyes are upon the church, watching what we do. Are you creating a thirst? Are you creating intrigue? Are you creating interest for God's glory to bring them to the light of the gospel and the truth? Or are your actions creating mockery and disgust? There's going to be those, even when you do act according to what the Scripture says, there are going to be those who scoff at you. But are your actions producing something? Is it producing bad fruit? Bitter fruit? Or is it producing fruit for the kingdom? Up to this point, Peter and they're in their upper room, right? They're out of view of the public. They were in hiding. Yet Peter courageously stands at that moment to rebuke the scoffers and explain exactly what's happened, what's transpired. He takes the opportunity to proclaim God's word, to proclaim the gospel with boldness, right? We know about his boldness, only now it's a holy boldness. Now it's with clarity of mind. He's calling on people to repent, to believe in Jesus Christ. Turn from their sin.
Amen.
Not just believe, but turn from their sin,
right.
Repent, and believe. The Holy Spirit can do that for you and I, to stand up in truth. To stand up in truth. We just read that. I read that article about how the times are going to come. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you that ability. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit leads to dependence on the Scripture. That's one of the effects the Holy Spirit does. How many scriptures does Peter reference in his sermon here? He references Joel chapter 2. He references Psalm 16. And he references Psalm 110. All. Like, he doesn't have his notes. He doesn't have his iPad right there speaking. It's in him. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's in him. These are Old Testament scriptures that he's proclaiming because the New Testament wasn't written at this point. They're living it, just so you know. He's not quoting scriptures he doesn't know, but he is quoting scriptures that are ingrained in him, that all point to the coming. And so it brings the clarity of mind, and he speaks to them. And it's the word of God that comes out of his mouth that cuts the men to the heart. Do you see how it's all tied together now? Oh, yes. Come on. The spirit and scripture come together. It's spirit of truth that breathes out the word of truth. The spirit of truth breathes out the word of truth. That's why you must study, to show yourself approved. A right man needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. Be open to be used like Peter. And then just watch as the Holy Spirit draws others to Christ. But you have to be open to it, right? Point one, surrendered and broken. If you're not surrendered and broken, you can't be used. The Holy Spirit isn't just going to take control over you. You have to release control. Then he can use you. Let the Holy Spirit then lead. The Holy Spirit allows us to forget our past because we are new. So, right? I mean, Peter has tons of failures, right? We saw that in the very a couple weeks ago. We went through his failures in detail. He had betrayed Jesus. He spoke out of, you know, and interrupted Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he doesn't let his past failures control him or stop him, you know, from jumping in front of the crowd. Listen. He could have let his past say, you know what? I don't have the right to speak about Jesus. I don't have the right. I denied him. Yeah, I was restored, but I don't have the right to proclaim. There's thousands of people. 3,000 people were saved. Do you understand how many people we're talking about? This church fills 100, okay? So take this church times 30. Right? No. 300. No. 10, right? 10 times 100. Yeah, okay. 10 times 100 is 1,000. So 30. 30 churches. 30 of these churches. If this was filled, 30 of these. That's how many were saved. We don't know how many weren't saved. Do you understand? He forgot his past failures, and he looked at the new opportunity. That's the effect of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, there is no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit, not after the flesh. What is he walking after? He's walking after the Spirit. He is a new creation in Christ. Your past is in the past. Some in the church take steps back when they should be stepping forward. They have an opportunity to suffer for Jesus' name. And we'll see that in coming, you know, probably next week with Peter, where he suffers too. Many of us act on our own power, but then there's no fruit or life behind it. There's no, you know, because we just act on our own accord. We're not seeking the Holy Spirit. We're not seeking the Lord. Like, how can I be used today to reach somebody? When I go to work today, how can I be used? How can I bring you glory, Lord?
Amen.
That should be your prayer when you go. When you're driving to work, say, Lord, how can I be used today? Amen. Doesn't mean you're perfect. We saw, I mean, Peter, and I won't spend too much time, but like he's walking in the power of spirit, but we see in a later part where Paul has to rebuke him because he's like questioning, like, should I eat food with the Gentiles? Right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're perfect every day. Repent, get corrected, and get back into the race. You guys with me?
Yes. Amen.
Our failures don't paralyze us, and you're not disqualified because you are new. The Holy Spirit works in you. You forget your failures, and you claim the day for Christ, which Scripture is clear. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Peter was looking at that day as the day of salvation as he walked in not his power, but the Holy Spirit's power. Do you understand? And 3,000 souls were added. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19, though it was Paul saying it, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. His denial had passed away. It was in the past. It was under the blood. All things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Peter, a new creation, was reconciling the crowd back to God by sharing what Jesus has done for him and can do for them. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit, this is the next fact, it focuses on Christ and the gospel. That's divine order and work. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So quickly, at this point, Peter jumps in, and the first thing he's doing is pointing to Jesus. He jumps right in when he says, hey, we're not drunk, it's about Jesus. He goes right into it. It's not about me, it's not about the 120 people and what you're doing here. He goes to Jesus first. Then he says, what's happened? Why all these Christians are speaking in different tongues? You know, Peter's making a clear explanation that Jesus is Lord. You have sinned. You have crucified him. You must turn to him for salvation, for forgiveness. And you can do this by repenting and committing and identifying yourself with him forever, for eternity. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in a man. And finally, the Holy Spirit leads to fruit for the kingdom of God. We can have all the knowledge in the world. We can have the best practices. We're good people. We can be really sincere and have like really good desires to do good things, but still act in our own strength. You can't save anybody. Right. You need to understand that.
That's right.
Peter didn't save anybody. It was the Holy Spirit that was drawing the people.
That's right.
Peter was the vessel to be used, just as you and I are. It's not you. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit in you and me. Do you understand?
So pray that the Holy Spirit draw them as you speak.
Branches that are separate from the vine do not produce grapes. If you cut them off, if you cut off a branch from the vine, what happens? It withers and dies. Okay? So Peter preaches the sermon and he saves 3,000 people. That's the Holy Spirit, in effect, working through us. And so, as Christians, we need to encourage one another, right?
Yes.
We need to encourage one another. That's why we get together on Sundays, to encourage you so you can go out into the world. It doesn't encourage you so we can huddle back together every night. I mean, that would be great. I mean, if it was like, you know, just one big house and we were all just sitting here and breaking bread. And
sharing the word.
Yeah. Awesome. But he calls us to go out, right? Into Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the world. So we need to encourage one another. We need to go deeper. We need to go deeper in our relationship. Spend more time doing our devotional. We need to spend more time honing our doctrine of what we stand on, our foundation. We have our testimony. Are you on sure ground? Are you on the rock? Or are you on the sand? Right? Get your foundation right. Spend time. Spend time in the Word. Iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
Share. Encourage. Share. There's email loops. There's things that are going around. Get in the conversation. Get in. What has the Lord done for you today? Get in so we can encourage one another, even if we're not meeting here on Sunday.
That's right.
Send out an email. This is what happened today. This is what the Lord's done for me today. And we can look to depend and leverage the Holy Spirit to accomplish all that through us. So we can be fruit bearers. The Holy Spirit basically takes all that God has given us, our own gifts, our experiences, our attributes, all these things that we have, knowledge, and he uses them like a fine symphony. It's like an orchestra. All to bring glory to Jesus. He's like the conductor.
Yeah.
We're the instruments, right? We're all one body, right? And he is orchestrating something great. This awesome tapestry of life to bring fruit for his kingdom, because that's what it's about. The things of the world will pass away. His words are true. Does it mean anything to you? Does that mean anything to you? I mean, how awesome is his love? How awesome is his love that he poured out and then called this man and said, hey, I know your failures. I know what you're going to do, but I still loved you anyways. I knew you were going to deny me, but I still went to the cross.
That's right.
For you, Peter, for you, Deanna, for you, Tony, for each and every one of us. Love poured out. And that love, that power of the resurrection, which raised Jesus from the dead, is the Holy Spirit that resides inside of you.
Yes.
A miracle.
Amen.
Power, wonder working power. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement it gives us, Lord. As we go out into the world to proclaim your truth, that we could be used and be transformed from failure to perfection as we are bathed and clothed in your righteousness, Lord. Help us to bring glory to you this week, Lord, as we go our separate ways, to remain steadfast in our faith, sure-footed, not double-minded. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.